Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life. You'll be set.
Adam is lying. He's trying to pass the blame by manipulating the story to get the accountability off of himself. It wasn't me, it was her. Genesis 3:13, chunk the snake. Genesis 3:13, and the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman ran away and hid. No, they're answering. I'm just trying to show you possibilities here. So the woman said, she's answering, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Now, again, God did not ask her what she'd done because God didn't know. He knew. The reason he asked her is because he wanted a confession. He expected Eve to give an answer for herself. People, I want to make a quick parallel. We're sinners. We need to learn how to confess like this. We are sinners. We know what we've done. It's good to, if we're going to daily sin, we need to daily confess. God, I messed up today. I'm sorry. Instead of God calling, "Hey, where you at, Ray? Where you at? Well, I'm over here. What'd you do? Well, this woman, well," you know, and then narrow it down to we're fine. Okay, I did it. You know, like that police officer that pulled me over. Did you have any reason? Nope. You got me. You just flat got me. Let's just confess, guys, okay? So now they're confessing as sinful people. And now it's time to administer the punishment to all three parties. I got to thinking about this. Who's going to get punished here? Three are going to get punished. The snake, Adam, and Eve. They're all going to get it for what they've done, starting with the serpent. Genesis 3:14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." Okay. You know, I don't know if snakes had arms and legs back then or not. I'm just kind of thinking maybe they were different. I don't know. But we do know that even today, they crawl on the ground flat, just like the Lord God said. So every time I see a snake, I'm reminded of this curse here in the Bible, just like God's curse says. Now, let me throw you a question. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see a snake? My first thing is kill it. That's what I think. I don't want to be friends with it. I don't want to go pet it. I'm going to kill it. And I don't care who it belongs to, if it's a pet or not. I'm killing it. All right. I don't know of anybody that can see a snake and say, "Oh, here, come here, pretty snake. Let me pet you." It doesn't work like that. Why do we just, there's a snake, kill it. Why do we think like that? It's because we know that if you don't, it'll bite you. The snake is going to bite you. If you've got any sense at all, the first reaction you're going to have to a snake is run away, get a shotgun, and come back and blow him into little snake chunks. That's what we should do to snakes. You kill them. We went to the farmhouse not long ago up in Kennard, and there's some steps that go up to the patio. And my dog got curious, and he was doing something under there. And what is it? And I stuck my head between the, you know, I shouldn't have done this. I should know better. I was raised on a ranch. I was trying to get my dog out of there. But I stuck my head between the steps, and right there was a snake body. I could see it. So we got out of there, and we got a gun, and we killed it. And we didn't see what kind of snake it was first. Well, maybe it's a non-poisonous snake. Maybe it's somebody's pet. Maybe it has a collar on with a phone number. Something like, no, you're killing it. Kill the snake. And after I killed the snake, I chunked the snake, okay? I chunked him into a pond so the fish could have him. But snakes will forever be mankind's reminder about the temptation and the fall of mankind. I think that's why so many people hate snakes. It's a curse inherently built in thought process we have. And I also believe that's why snakes are so vicious and why they're so hated, because of this curse. Now, more on the serpent's curse now in Genesis 3:15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Okay, this is where having been a Bible college student gets really fun, because I get to, there's a lot of neat things that happened in here that I want to show you. First off, enmity means hostility. It means very hot, frictional hostility. Seed means offspring, like children, what comes from you. Now, God said there would be a continual struggle between the serpent's offspring, which would be demons, and any person that serves darkness. If somebody's an unbeliever, terrorist, and what all these bad people, they are Satan's serpent's offspring. And also, the woman's seed, which would be Eve's offspring. We're going to see soon that she's going to have her first son, Cain, as well as all the rest of humanity that descends down from her. So you've got two different seeds talked about here. There is always going to be, because it says right here, there's always going to be very intense hostility, enmity between the offspring of the serpent and with the offspring of mankind. There's always going to be enmity, hostile interactions going on. If you look at Matthew 12, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees that were coming against him. They were serving darkness, thinking they were so religious. But Jesus called them a brood of vipers, which means a family of snakes. He was referring back to this original curse. You family of snakes. He was telling them who they belonged to, serving darkness. The Pharisees were serving evil, and they were pushing enmity against Jesus Christ. They were pushing a hostile struggle. Also, not just against Jesus, but remember, they were abusing poor people around them so they could get rich. That was their enmity, that little family of snakes. Now, this enmity between Satan and man, this is where we get all of our wars from. All the things that we see going on through human history, all of our terrorism, crimes, abuse, the terrible things going on in our world that people try to curse God for and blame God for it, like Adam, well, this woman you gave me, something bad happens. Well, God, you did this. Well, no, this is the enmity because of the sin. You got all these people that ask you, if God is so good, then why do bad things happen? That demonstrates they don't understand the first thing about the Bible. I'll tell you where it all comes from. I'll tell you why bad things happen. Because we are sinful. We are the ones that messed up, not God. So when people, oh, terrible things happen, how dare you, God? Uh-uh. We're the sinner, not him, right? Don't shake your fist at him for it. We're the sinners. So here in Genesis 3:15, God is saying, Satan will always be the enemy of mankind, and anybody from Satan, he's always going to have enmity against those of Eve's seed. I can remember before we got this building and before we were in here, we were looking at it, and me and Byron were standing out in the parking lot, kind of imagining what the church would look like. Oh, imagine if there's a sign up there. Oh, you know, that's going to be cool. And this girl came out of nowhere. And from the dark. She just walked across the parking lot. She came right at us. And she said, we don't need another church here in this town. What makes you think your church will be different that people want to come here? And just saying anything she could against us. You remember that? And she goes, what this town needs is another bar. And I said, well, this town doesn't need another bar either. What makes a bar unique that people will want to come to it? Well, people need bars. People need churches. You know, we went back and forth, and she left, and Byron goes, what in the world was that all about? You know, that was nothing more than Satan's enmity, trying to discourage us from coming in here. Enmity. It's right there in the curse, right? From the fall. So here we have enmity between Satan's seed and woman's seed. And oh boy, it sounds like everything's lost now, isn't it? Like it's all over with. But it's not. I want you to notice the word seed, that one the woman's seed has a capital S on it. Do you see that? That is a capital S. Whenever you see capital letters in the Bible, that indicates deity. That indicates God, godly deity. So when I was in Bible college, whenever you used pronouns like the word he to like refer to Jesus, if you did not capitalize the word he, you got points taken off your paper. And for every instance that you did it, he, him, his, point, points, points, points. You might even end up failing the class. You had better capitalize it. And they were serious about this. When you're referring to the Lord, deity, you lamb, lion, all those things, you put capitals on there if you're referring to the Lord God. And they were very serious in Bible college about teaching us to give honor to the Lord, even in our writing assignments and how we wrote them. So trust me, whenever I see capital letters, I go, oh, what's that? I want y'all to get used to this, okay? Sometimes there's people talking about a Lord in the Bible, but it's not a capital L. That might be saying that somebody's talking to a person who's not Jesus as a Lord versus Lord Jesus, capital L. I want y'all to get used to that. But notice the capital S on the word seed. So who is this? Who could this be? It's Jesus Christ. Thank you. It is Jesus Christ. But how could deity possibly come from a woman's seed? That's the question I have when I hear this. How could that come from the woman's seed? I'll show you how. Luke 1:31 says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." I want you to notice the word son is capitalized here. Capitalize. The word his is capitalized because Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus and the Father are one. I'm going to tell you point blank. Jesus is God. He is God in flesh. So you want to know how this seed could be a capital S deity, could come from a woman. This is how, through Jesus Christ. Look at how incredible Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 is. Genesis 3, verse 15, it's called the Proto-Evangelium, which means first gospel. Proto-Evangelium, first gospel. Why? Because this is the Bible's very first prediction of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is one awesome verse. I don't want you to lose this. Underline it. Highlight it, draw explosions around it, whatever you got to do. Don't lose this verse. It is the proto-evangelium. I told you God had a plan, didn't I? Okay. And God said that the serpent would strike his heel. Okay. Now, I believe this is a prediction of the cross, striking his heel. He's going to strike at him like snakes do. This is a prediction of Jesus dying at the cross and all the work of darkness that Satan was going to try to do against Jesus and against all of Jesus' followers, the strike at his heel. You know, Satan tried to have Jesus killed even before he was born. There's people trying to kill him, this prophecy coming of a king. Oh, we better kill whoever this guy is. And they killed all the children under a certain age just to try to wipe Jesus out. Jesus was hunted down every day of his life. And eventually he was killed, crucified on the cross, but that didn't keep him down as Jesus rose again. So if you look at the Amplified Bible, I like looking at Amplified Bibles because it stretches the words out really far. It gives more emphasis. The Amplified Bible, the serpent will only strike at his heel, but Genesis 3:15 says that Jesus will crush the serpent's head. It says bruise in the one that we read here. If you look at Amplified, he's going to have his head crushed. So look at the contrast that's being shown to us here. You've got a heel strike and a crushed head. I have had snakes strike at me and I killed them. Okay? Very big difference. I made it. I'm alive. The snake did not. Jesus is alive. Satan has his doom already pre-planned ahead. Okay? That's the difference in striking the heel and crushing the head. So the serpent's strike will not end the offspring of woman. But when Jesus rose from the grave again on the third day, that's where Jesus broke the power of death and won the ultimate victory for us. And with the cross, Jesus crushed the devil's head, defeating him forever. So now next time you read through Genesis 3:15, capital letters, and crush and strike, there's a lot going on in that one little verse. So we have a picture of Jesus already, a picture of the victory at the cross over sin and Satan. Our plan of salvation had already been planned and established by God before man ever sinned. And you get it all right there. And we're only in Genesis 3. Look at what God has done for us. Isn't that great? That is such good news. So remember, Genesis 3, verse 15, the proto-evangelium, the first occurrence of the gospel message in the Bible. But even with that plan in place to save man, the enmity between Satan and a woman's offspring still remains in effect. That's something we're going to have to deal with as believers. Genesis 3:16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Dum bum. There's the controversial statement right there. Crushing the snake's head, I'm fine with that, but that he shall rule over you. Here we go. All right. I just know it's out there. Don't write me emails. I didn't write the Bible. Take it up with God. But this is very very politically incorrect stuff here. We don't like to hear this in our... I can tell, I mean, you know, when you heard it, some, and then you just went ring. It's a little alarm went off. Oh, Ray's going to be in trouble now. This kind of talk really aggravates feminist thinking. And we've got a lot of feminist thinking in the world today, which is basically proof. The feminist thinking is basically proof of that hostile enmity between Satan and mankind, or else it wouldn't be there, right? That God's people would get so angry over what God pronounced here that God said he's going to rule over you, and people get so mad, proves there's enmity still going on. Okay, guys, in this church, I think you know where I stand on this, but just to remind, I'm going to preach God's word the way God spoke it. And I'm not going to shy away from these subjects just because it's not popular today or because people are going to get mad at me. I have already gotten phone calls over this kind of stuff. I've already gotten emails. I've had people march in here angry over things I said. I didn't write it. This is God's word. And I have to preach it the way God spoke it. He said, the husband rules over the wife. Okay. Now, I hate to even go into this subject, but the scripture requires me to say it. And it saddens me when I see controversy in marriages and lots of fighting because today's world tries to push the wife to take over the husband's leadership role. The world pushes women to overstep their bounds. That's what Eve did wrong. Often when I see a couple fighting, I discover that the wife mistakes God's order that she must be inferior. That God said he rules over you, they automatically think, well, that means I'm nothing. It doesn't mean you're nothing. We exaggerate everything we hear so quickly. We make these drawn-out conclusions that come, where does it come? It comes from our imagination. It doesn't mean you're inferior at all. I find it amazing how people can fight like cats and dogs within a marriage and somehow not notice that this is enmity. This is enmity. We got to understand this curse that God said. It's going to be, you're either on the snake side or you're on God's side. There's going to be enmity between the two. So when you're fighting in a marriage, is that godly? It's not godly. Sure, you're going to have differences, work them out, but the fighting and the clawing and the anger and the raised blood pressure, that's enmity. And this is where it all comes from, what we're reading here. God himself said in verse 16, he shall rule over you. For those who say, I'm a Christian, but that man is not going to, I'm telling you what God said, he shall rule over you. Today's culture is trying to tell you that the man is stupid, that men, males, are dumb. Toxic masculinity, you shouldn't be a man, turn that John Wayne movie off, we don't act like that anymore. They don't like it. And you ever notice in TV shows and commercials, when they show a couple, they always make the man out to be the idiot. The man's the stupid one. Sitcoms, don't get me started. The man's the dummy. And because he's so dumb, the woman should take over. And there she goes, overstepping her bounds. Now, I've got more to say about the men, so y'all just hang with me, okay? I'm not beating up on women today. I'm just taking it as it comes, all right? So the Bible even says something. Now, Just hang with me. We're reading together, right? We are going to show the next verse up there on the screen, right? Okay, y'all got your Bibles. Be in it. I just getting the pressure off of me. 1 Peter 3 and 1 says, "Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives." Ladies, this is a wonderful opportunity. You got a husband that's a knucklehead out there? This is your opportunity to draw him into being saved by your submission. It's not, "Oh, he's better than me, I'm not going to take that." No, this is your opportunity. God is saying, look, ladies, I know how a man thinks. And if you submit to him, you're going to get through to him like you don't even know. Draw him to the Lord Jesus. Okay, so here's one I often hear. "Well, he's the unbeliever, not me. I'm the one that's Christian. He's the one messing up, not me." The reason why God says this to submit, the reason why God has said this is that he shall rule over you, because that's God's order. God's order is always better than the way we think. Okay, to whoever this makes angry, and I know somebody out there does, I would suggest that you probably may have some of that serpent enmity in you if this riles you up. Don't let this be in you. You need to get that enmity out of your life. It's not comfortable saying all this that I'm saying, but I'll tell you, it's a lot less comfortable when hostile marriages march into my office because they're not obeying God's word in the first place. I've had marriages come in, couples come in angry, and she's ready to strike him down, the moron that he is, and then he's mad because he got spineless. It does happen. Men get spineless. Well, I'd do anything than fight with her, anything to shut her up, and she would do anything to shut him down, and then there's your enmity going on. I would rather state what's in God's word now and let y'all chew on it than wait for it to come in my office barking and screaming and hollering for me to have to deal with there. Guys, I'm just trying to be as blunt, truth, honest as I can with God's word, okay? To anybody here in a struggle maritally, you have my deepest sympathy, and I'm here to help you. But I got to state God's word as it is said, okay? But in this story, the women now, we need to notice that from Genesis 3, women would now bear children in pain and would be mastered by her husband, who she would desire. God said, "He will be your desire." In this story, Eve's desire shifted. Did y'all catch that? Her desire was not for her husband. Her desire was to be able to see, to be able to be like God. Her desire shifted from her husband, and now she was going to prompt Adam to sin. Anna was talking about this a minute ago, about Satan will get to the men through the wives. Guys, be careful. Be careful of that. And since she overstepped her bounds in this, God said that she would now be ruled by her husband. Okay? Ladies, I want to say this with as much love and as much humility as I possibly can, because I know there are strained marriages out there, and I also know that there's a lot of people who are just going to choose to not listen to what I'm saying because they just don't like hearing this. But I'm going to teach God's word as it is stated. So let me say this very carefully. If you catch the desire to overstep your bounds, over into your husband's role, you are listening to sin. You are falling for the same deception that Eve did. You are operating outside of God's order, and you will cause enmity, intense hostility within your marriage.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for